Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Motto at Midnight with your host, Motto Sasquatch. Motto is a shaman who works with the written and spoken word. He has played his flute, offers sacred smoke in the four directions. Please join Motto in sacred ceremony. And now, Motto at Midnight.
Hey, come now, long expected new intro. Hi, folks. This is Motto Sasquatch, and the program is Motto at Midnight. Thank you for joining me this evening. That was the new intro I've been talking about for some time. Actually, I've just been talking about wanting a new intro because my old one was inaccurate, which is probably a good reason for wanting a new one. Have updated the information and put some nice, calming spiritual music behind it. And those of you who listen to other shows on this network probably recognize the dulcet tones of Chief Iggy Hoopwatcher, who was kind enough to make this for me. Although I did request a female voice, this request was made like 2 days ago, so he probably didn't have a chance to find one, and not short of time space. That's fine. Iggy's voice is great, and the opening is great. I'm very happy with it. Gives me a nice start to the show. I think now different from before when I would listen to the intro that I recorded. I recorded it over a year ago, and yeah, I had given the call-in number, among other things, and the call-in number, I don't generally take calls, so it was kind of dumb for me to give the call-in number. And I was actually hoping Iggy record an intro for another show. I said, well, why can't I have a new intro? And he said, you can. And that's how it happens. Ask for what you need. Something that I was taught in 12-step a number of times. And sometimes lessons just don't sink in. You got to learn them a number of times. And there's another one. Ask for what you need. And I did. And I got it. And there you go. The world is perfect. Let me give you here. Here's this one. I may be guessing wrong, but I think this is the intro that I recorded. It's for a new show on the network called Through the Looking Glass. And so I'll do a little mini commercial here for that show. I'll play the intro. I believe, I may be wrong, but based on what's written here, I believe that this is the intro that I recorded. But so we'll make a little diversion here. Hold on.
Insights Radio presents Through the Looking Glass, Crystal Ball Readings with Siege. Siege is a Wicca high priest, spiritual counselor, tarot card reader, and crystal ball reader. To talk with Siege, call in at 646-595-3440. And now, let's step together through the looking glass.
Is that dramatic enough for you? Siege takes calls because, of course, it's a call-taking kind of program. So he gave the number. That's perfectly fine. I also have one here. This is for Lion's Lair. This is another new show. We actually have shows on the network, I think, every day except Sunday now. So it'd be six different network hosts, I guess. And I believe I know all these people. I've at least met them. Lion's Lair is Adrienne Art's show. I have met her. She is a lovely lady. And she's doing a new show. Here is the intro for that show, and I promise no more intros after this. Okay, let's go with this one.
We welcome you to step inside the Lion's Lair, a place to explore our curiosity, the paranormal, angels, spirits, orbs. We will share our real life experiences and invite you to do the same. With your hosts, Adriana Arts and Iggy Garcia. Our call-in number is 646-595-3440.
And there you have it. I'm glad I'm not up against her. Oh, damn. I'm glad my show is not up against her show. Okay, now I'm going to walk away from that and pretend I never did it. Let's see. To turn this show back to the spiritual direction, which it's supposed to have, I'm going to go ahead and do Walk in Dry Places. And for those of you who haven't heard this before, this is a book of spiritual readings. It is kind of AA heavy, but it also applies in other aspects of life. So I like to read today's selection and then pick out what, if anything, has applied in my life recently. So for February 20th, the title is A Day of Acceptance. We will not regret the past nor fear the future, goes one of the promises to the 12-step programs. Neither the past nor the future should control what we're thinking and doing today. After all, if our higher power is everything, no person or action can be outside of this supreme control. Today, I will rise above anything that was said or done in the past. We'll also hold the idea that the future is bright with promise and that the promise will be fulfilled. Nobody's opinion or criticism can be unsettling to me if my beliefs and self-worth are anchored to my higher power. It's true that there might have been lots of wreckage in the past, even more recently when we have been living sober. Doesn't matter. In amazing ways, our higher power sometimes turns negative conditions into future benefits. This was actually what happened when our compulsive condition led directly to a new way of life. I will accept life today and will look for unexpected blessings. No person or group can keep me from good as I accept God's direction in my life. In all your ways, acknowledge God. Okay, wait a minute. In all your ways, acknowledge God who shall direct your paths. I remember this frequently as I go about the day. Interesting. Past and future. So past, things that weigh upon me from the past, I think is what that's talking about. And then the future side is a bit more elusive. Fears of what might happen maybe is what where that's going. So the past weighing on me. Yeah, got that. Fears of what's going to happen in the future. Yeah, got that too. This week, I was out of, I've been staying, most of you know, here with the folks while I'm trying to obtain new living arrangements in my big city in the Midwest. But I was away from the house this week. I was in the city most of the week. I had some work earlier in the week, which is welcome. And then later in the week, I had a doctor's appointment and then an appointment with my caseworker, the person who's helping me obtain these new digs. And the past pursuing me is something that's, I don't know, it's not as on my mind as often as it used to be. When things are going badly, when the plans are not unfolding as I think they should, I feel the weight of the past because there are all these bad decisions that were made. And, well, if you hadn't made those bad decisions, goes the self-talk. If you hadn't made those bad decisions, you wouldn't be in this mess. And while that is certainly true, it's not particularly helpful. It clouds my mind. It keeps me from making the decisions, the good decisions that I need to make now. I was going to back away from that because I thought it was too absolute. But I think that it does. The stinking thinking is the term. When that starts to get into my head, it crowds out everything else. And I had an experience this week where I didn't get it was someone from my past. From the past when my acting out was at its worst. She didn't walk back into my life because I haven't encountered her. I know for a long time I had lost track of her, which was on purpose. Not that I blamed her for anything that happened, but I find that she is a reminder of those things. And that when I've been around her, I find that frame of mind returning. And it's not a frame of mind I need to be in. So I find, without going into details, I find that she has at least peripherally re-entered the circle of people that I commonly associate with, which means that I might run into her. Wouldn't be an everyday occurrence, but I might encounter her. And, you know, my thought is, what would I do if that happened? Because this is someone who was very important to me at one time, but who also belongs to that time that perhaps I would rather forget. I mean, there are people and experiences from that time that were very positive. But it sometimes feels as if it's easier and perhaps more time effective to just block out the whole thing and throw it out and not think about it anymore. Which is easier to do when it's just me than it is when there's someone else walking around who shares the secrets, as it were. And then there's that aspect to it too. Someone who has evidently not chosen to share details of her relationship with me with other people who are in that circle. So if she hasn't chosen to say what it was that passed between us, I don't know if it's for me to say that either. No, I do know. It's not for me to say that. So then that adds another level of, I don't want to say deceit. I'm not going to say deceit because it's not deceit. It's just something that's not spoken. And things can be not spoken for good reasons, and they can be not spoken for bad reasons. I think this would be a thing that's not spoken for a good reason, but it's still a thing that's not spoken. So it's out there. And people are going to wonder. People are going to wonder what that is. And that feeling of uncertainty kind of spreads from person to person. Am I making any sense at all? Believe me, this all makes sense to me. And I wouldn't presume to take up your time with it, with you, if it didn't. This is all generated by the view about the past and the past and the future, about being a prisoner of the past and the future, about letting go of the past. Now, does letting go of the past mean forgetting the past, or does it mean severing the past's hold on you? The past existed. Hopefully I learned lessons from it. Maybe I will draw lessons from it as I go forward. But it does not rule me. It's not in charge of me. It doesn't determine who and what I am going forward. At least that's what I tell myself. But when I get into a situation like I'm in now, and again, a situation that's not directly one of my making, and let me review it. I know some of you, I've talked about this on many programs over the past few months, and if this is old stuff for you, I apologize, but I think it would be useful to kind of put it all together. I don't think I've shared the whole narrative, at least not recently, and I promise I'll keep it short. I lost my apartment. I didn't lose it. It's still there. I just don't live there anymore. I couldn't pay for it anymore, and rather than put my landlord and myself through the trouble of eviction, it was clear I was not going to be able to pay for it anymore, so I just left. Told my landlord and skedaddled. I've spent most of the time since then in my parents' house. The rest of the time, most of it with Chief Iggy and his family, who've been very gracious and kind to let me stay. And then other friends have helped me out too. It's an odd way to live. It's a draining way to live. First of all, going from place to place and not having a place to call your own. Second, living amongst other people is kind of uncomfortable for me. For one reason being that I have this inner monologue that isn't really inner. It's kind of outer. The common expression would be that I talk to myself. I don't like that expression because I'm not talking to myself. I'm just talking the same talk that other people talk, except it's inside their head and mine is outside of my head. And it's when you're living with other people on top of you, that becomes problematic because, you know, crazy people talk to themselves. I don't like getting caught at it. And a couple of days ago, my mother caught me at it. She walked in. I didn't hear her. She's a little old lady, you know, walking around the house. I didn't hear her. And I was, you know, very animated about something. I don't even remember what it was now. And she came in and shocked me. And I snapped at her. And I like snapping at my mother because she prepares my food. And but we made up and before I had to leave, so on my way back to the big city. But, you know, this sort of underlines the, at least for me, the need for private space for my own sort of mental health and well-being, a place that I can retire to and I don't have to worry about behaving myself. So I think that's a big part of the reason why I haven't been able to write very much. I did write to my blog this week, first time in 6 weeks. I wrote a blog entry, and I wrote it at a public library in the city. And if you live in the city, you know that public libraries in the city are not quiet. They are very they are places where children get dropped off. There's lots of activity, and often a lot of noise. And still, I was better able to write there than I was here at my parents' house. And I think it's just there's an opportunity for the brain to unwind. And even if, you know, some of my narrative does come out loud there, nobody's going to notice. And in fact, many times I've thought about purchasing one of those Bluetooth things that you stick in your ear. You know, the phone, I guess it's a whole phone that sticks in your ear and you can talk. I've talked about just getting one of those, not to use, but just to wear in my ear all the time so that when people caught me talking out loud, he's just on the phone and could dismiss it that way. I haven't gone to that extreme yet, but it's something that might still happen. But anyway, does that lead us into the future? Not really, but I'll pretend that it does. The future, what we talked about, you know, what chases what's happened in the past and what might happen. Anticipating. And boy, I'm a big one for anticipating too. Which is another reason the writing isn't getting done. So thinking, well, if I did this, if I waited for this, if this were to happen or this thing were to change, you know, then the writing would be better. It would be a better opportunity for me to write. It would be a better opportunity for me to share my writing. So that sort of anticipation, you know, things will change and the conditions will be better for me to do this thing I need to do. Another kind of different example, I've been trying, as I mentioned, I've been trying to get, I don't know if I mentioned this or not, trying to get new digs in the city. And I checked my messages today. January the 7th was when I got the call from my caseworker that the city had an apartment for me to look at. They said, I had filed back in July when I knew I was going to lose my apartment. You file with the city and they have an inventory of apartments that low-income people can rent for a percentage of their income. And I qualified and filled out all the forms, and you got away. It takes about 6 months. So in January, my name came to the top of the list. And, there was a secondary application process and a face-to-face interview that I had to go through, and all that went fine. And, you know, just right, you know, they told me where the apartment was. My caseworker and I went and looked at it from the outside. We didn't have a key, so we couldn't go inside. Well, the next stage is that someone at the place called the housing coordinator, who has the key, takes us there and I can look at the inside. And then I either accept the apartment or I don't accept it. Now, if I don't accept it, then my name goes back to the bottom of the list. So, you know, unless it's like a rat-infested place, it's not going to be that. It just looks very nice from the outside. It's in a fairly decent neighborhood. But see, the next step is this housing coordinator lets me into the apartment, and I say, okay. And they give me a lease, and I sign it, and I put the deposit down, and then I get the key, and the place is mine. And we were at that point 2.5 weeks ago. Now, what's happened is the housing coordinator evidently is having some problems at home and hasn't been at work very much. So there's nobody to take me to the apartment. And this is where the whole process is jammed up. Now, I found out today that they've hired a new housing coordinator, which may or may not be a good thing, because we also found out the reason we didn't hear from the new housing coordinator this week was that she's in orientation. So she is really a new housing. She's never done the job before. Now, how this hooks in with the future, I didn't forget, was I have 2 more weeks, next week and the following week, and then after that, I start the seasonal job I have grading standardized tests for Ohio and various other states that give the kids the graduation tests. And it's a good job. It's 40 hours a week, and it will last probably most of the time between March and June. But the thing is, once I get that job, I'm not going to be able to come to the apartment to see it and then sign the lease unless I take off work or unless someone at that office is willing to come in after hours. So this is a future thing. And, you know, I'm watching the present. I'm watching time keep on slipping into the future, you know, where it used to be we had a whole month, and now we only have 2 weeks. So this causes me a lot of anxiety, and it causes me to make panicked phone calls to my caseworker, who is actually working very hard to help me out. And, of course, all of this is entirely beyond her control anyway. So it has a potential. As the potential caused me to self sabotage. You know, you get the impulses to call up the city, the office that the city office that does this, and yell at people. That's certainly not going to help my cause. It's going to fix things. It's going to make enemies. But the future is coming. The future is you can't stop what's coming. Like they said in that movie, you can't stop what's coming. But I also can't control what I can't control. How's that for a truism? If I can't change what's going on with the housing coordinator, it does no good for me to worry about it. And that seems so simple. And if I can't change the past, it does no good for me to worry about it. And that seems so simple. But it's not. And I know there are people out there who know what I'm talking about. It seems the past has its hands around your neck and is ready to drag you under the water and leave you there forever. I sit in my parents' house, which is a very nice house, and it's the house that I grew up in. And a lot of my past, a lot of the negative aspects of my past, childhood and adult, are tied up in this place. God, how I love to sage it. I know my mother would never allow it. And I'm not going to do it surreptitiously because it's not my house, so it's not my thing to do. And that line of thought ran out of steam. I need to make friends with the past and make friends with the future. Even though I know doing so, I mean, you can't fight the past, you can't fight the future. You make friends with it, but that still doesn't change it. I mean, there's no changing it. But if I allow myself to know it, if I allow myself the enhancement of the knowledge of myself that would bring, that puts me so far ahead. If the housing coordinator thing drags out for another 2 weeks, you know what? I'll work it out. And that statement is a huge, huge step for me. And I'm hoping, I have to hope, because that's the whole reason for this show. I'm hoping that someone out there has this issue or some similar issue and hears these words and somehow they help. Because that's why I'm here. That's my calling. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. That's what the job and the apartment and learning to live without substances and learning to live without disrupting the lives of others, to feed my own needs and my own fantasies, what that's all about. I'm not doing that just do it. I'm doing it because there's a calling for me. There's a thing that I'm supposed to do. And I can't do it until these issues, I can't do it effectively. I can't do it 100%. I can't put everything into it until these issues are worked out. We have come to the end of our time together this evening. I'm sorry for the rocky start. I just wanted to share those things with you, and boy, that I hadn't heard. See, that's the thing. I hadn't heard the Lion's Lair intro before. I should have listened to it first before I put it on there. Not that there's anything wrong with it, Adriana. I just it kind of threw me off in a direction that I hadn't planned on going. But anyway, I'll look forward to hearing her show, and I hope you'll tune in. Go to With Insights Radio channel of Blog Talk Radio and find all the shows that are here. And I hope you'll join me again next week here on Mud Toe at Midnight. I'll be here sharing more philosophy with you. But for tonight, I wish you a pleasant good evening. Good night.